So I'm going to talk today about, oh, there it is, our Advanced Breast Cancer Program, which was created by the Cancer Support Community. And I do have a disclosure. The program itself receives unrestricted funding through unrestricted educational grants from GlaxoSmithKline, Abraxas Bioscience, and AstraZeneca. And at the end of the presentation, if anybody has any questions about how that works, I'd be happy to talk about that. The Cancer Support Community itself is an organization that was now found between the joining of two different organizations. The Wellness Community was founded in 1982 in Santa Monica to provide social and emotional support to people affected by cancer. Gilda Radner, for those of you who knew her, had cancer and went to the Wellness Community when she was on the West Coast. She was on the East Coast with her husband, Gene Wilder. She didn't have a Wellness Community to go to, so she missed that social piece. So after her death, her psychologist and mentor, Joanna Bull, founded Gilda's Club. So very much a similar model, a little bit less focus on education programs and a little more focus on some of the social programming. Ultimately, we've come back together. It's a merging of sort of a family union. And this year we actually had our second affiliate leadership conference. So we have brought together now 50 affiliates throughout the country to provide psychosocial support. And we do that in independent organizations. So if you see this, I'm pointing, you can't see where I'm pointing, can you? So the building up there. So we have freestanding homes and houses where we really try to create a home-like, warm, and supportive environment for people affected by cancer where they can come. All of our services are free. We offer support groups. We do exercise programming. We do nutrition classes. Everybody loves yoga or Tai Chi. Each affiliate has their own sort of mind-body guru who eventually sort of sets up a protocol that they tend to follow. So in Philadelphia, they do lots of Tai Chi, and in DC, they do lots of yoga. So we really let them direct themselves. At the national office, we want to provide an array of guidelines and quality standards, but let the organizations tailor their activities to their own unique needs. And most excitingly for me, we do education programs. And on the national level, we do develop materials. The Wellness Community's founder, Harold Benjamin, came up with a concept, the patient active concept, which states people with cancer who actively participate in their care along with their healthcare team will improve the quality of their lives and may enhance the possibility of recovery. And very much that grew out of social cognitive theory. But at the end of the day, I try to distill it down to the fact that what we really want to do is encourage an active partnership between somebody who's been diagnosed with cancer, their healthcare team, their family members, other loved ones, so that they can really own their decisions. They can own their decisions in treatment, through survivorship, but feel proud of what they've done and not feel, and really feel empowered. And so we have lots of different pieces in the national office, but I run our education program, and what distinguishes us from some of the other cancer education programs out there is our line of materials called Frankly Speaking About Cancer. We have print pieces, face-to-face patient education workshops, which is where the data that I'll talk about later really comes from. We have content online on our website, podcasts, internet, radio. We have CD-ROM that actually goes with the breast cancer program. And all of our pieces are evidence-based. And so we have a pretty robust system to develop new materials. We work with a medical writer, we work with a local affiliate, and then everything's reviewed by a medical oncologist. So, because we want to make sure that everything we create is done in fair balance. One of the things we do talk about are treatments. We mention treatment types, what NCCN recommends, what NCI recommends, and list drug names, what are side effects. And that really goes to sort of our advanced breast cancer program. So I brought the book. If anybody wants to take a look at it, you're welcome to pass it around. But it does provide sound clinical information. So we do update our materials every couple of years, truly with the intent to make sure we're able to provide the most current clinical information. We also really want to work through providing tools for communication, really around treatment options, but also around side effect management. Because we all know that it's important to empower somebody who's dealing with cancer to talk about side effects with their clinical team so that they have this opportunity to voice something and manage it before something gets out of control. You know, it's managing fevers, managing risk, and then really feeling empowered, again, going back to that piece of empowerment to own their decisions. And in metastatic breast cancer, so advanced breast cancer really does speak to metastatic breast cancer or stage four, but to create a survivorship community of women who are facing similar challenges. And the program itself was developed as a result of a survey, an online survey that Living with Beyond Breast Cancer did of women with metastatic breast cancer. And what it really did was, it was groundbreaking truly, because it helped to identify some of the specific issues to women who were living with advanced breast cancer. And one of the biggest keys with it, they felt that there was nothing out there for them. There wasn't a lot of information. They felt marginalized. They don't care about Pink in October. That was very much the general messaging. So we worked together with them because we have a broad reach to create this program and have focus groups. So all the women you see on the cover of the book, are women who at the time were living with metastatic disease. Throughout the book, we've got quotes, and it's truly reflective of the experience and the challenges that they face. And so we launched the program. The program is actually launched under the name of the Patient Active Guide to Living with Advanced Breast Cancer. But as we sort of streamline all of our educational resources, we put it under the Frankly Speaking brand. Since it launched, we've run over 100 workshops nationwide, reaching over 1,900 women and caregivers and health professionals. That the data does go through the end of 2009 because we're running programs now, and so we won't have final data until the early part of next year. We've gotten 36,000 website hits, both on the current Cancer Support Community website as well as the previous Wellness Community website. We've distributed over 26,000 books and kits, as well as, and so the books are distributed with the CD-ROM. So independently, we've also distributed the CD-ROM. And so like I said, I was going to talk about mostly the workshop because that's the easiest piece for us to have a tangible sort of evaluative component of it. So this is just something we provide as part of a toolkit that we create for an organization that wants to run the workshop. We, in addition to providing them with, this is a sample of how you might want to run your workshop, we have a standardized slide set, so we ensure consistent messaging across all of the workshops. We marketing materials, toolkits. There's a medical presentation, so as you see on the part about talking about the treatment options and side effect management, it's requested and required that if not a medical oncologist to deliver the program, at least an oncology nurse, because sometimes people don't have access in certain more rural areas, and so at least an oncology nurse to be able to deliver that piece. And then a question and answer session both with medical oncologist and a facilitated conversation with a psycho-oncology expert. I went the wrong way, didn't I? So at the end of it, we have a standardized workshop, evaluation, which is handed out to every participant. In the years that we've been collecting them, we've gotten over 72% response rate, and everybody gets it. And at the end of the day, really, we want to understand what's their satisfaction. Are we meeting the needs of women with metastatic breast cancer? How can we change our program next year to better meet their needs? Are there things people want to know about? Are there trends over time? Have things changed? Are we making an impact? And then what sort of psychosocial indicators are we hitting on, and what do we need to move forward on? And in addition to the items I just mentioned, we also collect demographics, attendee types, so caregivers, survivors, and we want to know a little bit about when a woman was diagnosed as well. So across the years, one of the things we've done is, I've been in my position for about 2.5 years, and so I came into a hodgepodge of different evaluation methods. All the content seems to be very much the same, so we've been trying to streamline our data collection and analysis. So my data across the board looks very similar, but it's pulled from different years. So most of the people that come, 61%, are women who are living with metastatic breast cancer, and then the remainder are really family members and friends. And also truly reflective of the majority of the people that we do serve at the wellness communities and Gilda's clubs, the majority of the women are Caucasian. We were able to really bump up that African-American number because we have a really nice partnership with the Sisters Networks across the country, so they've offered the program at their affiliates. And then the age breakdown, I apologize, there's a typo in that second line down there. So the bulk of the women were 56 to 69, and then below that, the next largest group were 40 to 55. We've started collecting how old women are, so we can even tease it out further. I think that we want to start to look at whether or not how this is impacting the pre-Medicare group. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our results, but I want to start off with the most exciting piece of for us is that 97% of all attendees would recommend the workshop. And some of the things that they have said is that the workshop was comforting and made them feel better about myself and my treatment. I'm happy you found out about this and was able to attend it. Thank you. Thanks a lot for offering this workshop. It was very useful and wonderful presentation. And truly, that is a reflection of the affiliate that's putting on the program, that it really gives an opportunity to connect with their community. So here we asked what was the most valuable aspect of the workshop. And people could select more than one. And the biggest, most attractive part was the Q&A session. And that's with the doctor. And I've been to several of these workshops, and it really, people get into it. And it's not a lot of, well, my doctor said this. It's that it's trying to understand, how does this work? Or why did you do, why would somebody recommend this? Or what, do these drugs not work? My doctor said this. Can you explain it a little better? Again, it's that opportunity to connect with an oncologist outside of the medical setting. Also, so that further, of course, speaks to the second most popular issue item, which is speaker expertise. And then the others, are pretty standard across the board. This next slide is, we want to ask them, on the post-workshop evaluation, we asked them, what was their knowledge before about advanced breast cancer, and what was their knowledge afterwards? And as you can see, 87% after the workshop had very high knowledge of advanced breast cancer. So that's pretty comforting to know that they're feeling more confident. We also really want to ask women about how they feel about clinical trials. Are they going to talk to their doctors as a clinical trial for an treatment option? Not that you have to have one, but seemingly another treatment option, particularly when women are living with longer and longer lines of treatment in metastatic disease. And so the bulk of them do agree or strongly agree that they will at least consider mentioning it. And this slide actually really makes us very happy in that we want to find out, you know, is there an intent to change? Do people feel more confident in what they're able to do? And the bulk of the people post-workshop really did feel empowered to ask questions, talk about treatment, side effects from treatment, and then also in making their treatment decisions. And that really also speaks to being feeling more like a team, asking questions to, if not your oncologist, to your oncology nurse, and moving their treatment forward. We wanted to start, so this is a piece of data we'll start to compare across all of the Frankly Speaking workshops, because we have programs not just for metastatic breast cancer, but where do people get most sources of information? And the first one is doctors and nurses, followed in second place by the internet. So for us, it, you know, makes us feel pretty good that, you know, support groups and workshops come in pretty much tied at third, so we have an opportunity on our end to help really be supportive, as well as to work with doctors and nurses to provide them with patient education information. And this lovely, confusing slide it shows two different time periods. So the 2007 is when women were diagnosed and they showed up. And the takeaway from this is that if you look at the 2007 and 2008, 11% of the attendees were more than 5 years out on treatment. And in 2009, there was 32% of attendees that were more than 5 years out. And so, while I don't have anything truly scientific to say, because I couldn't, we don't have p-values associated with it, we really feel that this is an effective piece in reaching people who are longer term, people who are finding a voice to say there are issues, there are psychosocial challenges with living with metastatic breast cancer. I think, you know, Elizabeth Edwards has done a lot to bringing a voice to that as well. She's a big advocate in her own way. And so we're pretty happy that we're able to reach those people further on down the line. And in summary, we are confident that the data indicate that this is a successful program, and also that there's need for materials and programs in this model to address the unique needs of women with metastatic disease. And future directions include extending our reach. So all of our programs are free. Occasionally we have grants that we're able to provide to an organization if they want to host a workshop or are able. We want to further assess the impact on behaviors and knowledge and really translate that data across all of our programs. We are going to do an online workshop for young women with metastatic disease. So while the medical content will be the same, the psychosocial issues and concerns are a little bit different. And then tailoring our workshop slide to address different populations and cultural uniqueness. So perhaps a slide deck that speaks specifically to challenges faced by the African American population created with Sisters Network. That's it. Thank you.